Wow, that was worth the price of admission. Wow. That was... Read with me, if you would, out of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read just a little bit here. A couple of things that just kind of stood out this morning when I was reading this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Therefore, God says, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You do not lack any spiritual gift. We don't. You don't. I don't. Kelly doesn't. We don't. We do not lack any spiritual gift. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that. I believe that. Just give me a second. There's something else here in that same chapter. Yeah, right here. Okay. So there's a lot of you that you're not normally here on Sunday morning, and we're really glad that you are here with us this morning. And like I said earlier, this is not about us. This is about the church of Jesus Christ. This is about His church. This is about His work. This is about His doing. So again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this also stood out to me this morning. My brothers, this is from verse 11. Yeah. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is that one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? No. We are here, you are here. We are part of the church, not this church or that church or the next one. We're here and you're here, and we're really glad you're here. We're part of the Lord's church. So again, let's everything that goes on here, we'll do that to His honor. Where's Annie? There's Annie. So Annie, man, she's got one great testimony after another, and we love her. She's an awesome gal, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her niece's son, right? So, yeah.
My niece Andrea has a 14-month-old son who weighs 14 and a half pounds. At 14 months, he's wearing a size 3 month clothing. He was born at 39 weeks. The doctor said he stopped developing at least 33. The hospitals in Newfoundland can't find out what's wrong with him. All they can say is he has a chromosome deformity. And I'm speaking against that. They're sending him to Shriners Hospital in Montreal, and they have told the family that if they can't find out what's wrong with him there, they're going to send him to the 21 other hospitals that they have around the world until they find out what's wrong with him. I'm asking my family, my church family, to lift Andrea, her husband Tony, and Brody up in prayer. They need it desperately. I know that more than two or three gather in His name, miracles can happen. This little boy is on a special diet. He can't gain weight, but he can't afford to lose any more. So please pray for him and lift him up. Thank you.
God, I thank you for Brody and his mom and dad. God, I thank you that you know him, you see him, and you know him. You know how he was formed, God. And Lord, we ask that you would bless Brody, that you would bless his mom and dad, and that you would renew this little guy to grow and develop as he should, God. Whatever is binding him and holding him back, we speak against that now in the name of Jesus. And we say, you get your hands off of Brody. Get your hands off of Brody. You let him go. And may the Lord Jesus Christ fill this kid. And may the Holy Spirit fill him and renew him and cause him to grow and to be healthy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you get your hands off him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, bless him. Bless this kid. Bless Brody. Thank you, God. I think I broke this microphone. Sorry. Yeah, take it off my paycheck. So we have a special guest here with us this morning. Besides all of you who are visiting, we have another guest as well. Ravi, where's Ravi? Here he comes. So Ravi was born in India, and as I understand, he was his father was a preacher, pastor, and I met Ravi on YouTube. That's right. And yes, God does work in great ways and mysterious ways. So there on YouTube there's some footage of this camera crew that was hanging around with Ravi, and Ravi is just getting some messages from our Heavenly Father, and go here and do this, and go here and do that, and he'd go there and he'd do that, and you'd see how God just was working miraculously and wonderfully, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. So, Ravi, come. We're glad you're here. Come and let's honor. Let's honor your father. Let's honor your father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you for Ravi. We thank you so much that he's here. You have opened doors. You have opened many doors and ways to make it such that he is here with us this morning, and we thank you for it. We give you all the credit and the thanks for it, God. And God, I just ask that you would use your servant to speak to us, that each one of us here in this building, God, would hear distinctly from you, and that you would use your servant, God, to speak to us in the ways that we need it. Thank you, God. You're a good God. You are so good to us. And we just can't say thank you enough. Bless your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus we pray.
How are y'all doing? Good. Good. Wow. If it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, before I share, well, by the way, thank you for having me. It's an honor. Amen. Good. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to see some Indian friends. Is that right? Are you guys from India? You look from India. No? No? That's you. Yeah. Ah. Where are you guys from? Indonesia, close. Yes. I mean, India, Asia. Just let's talk about India. Yes. And I'm here, good friends from India. All right. I was in heaven when I ate your food. Oh, we had an amazing restaurant. And anyone who does not know Heaven's Food, go to that restaurant. What's your restaurant's name? Asta. Okay. Asta. Google it. Unless you search, you won't find it. The good things are demands a search. Why? There is nuggets in searching. There's character building in searching. Come on, guys. When I don't find it, I miss it. When I miss it, you'll copy it. You see the point? Copying is not of God. Before I preach, I'm going to bring my friend up. It's a surprise for him. He didn't know he was preaching today. He's going to talk about a little bit of what the Holy Spirit is, and then I'm going to come in. Amen? Are we here to find God? Never Daddy does anything without a purpose. You're here for a purpose. You're here to receive a healing. When God does something, He exposes heaven on earth. Did you get that? When God does something, He exposes heaven's atmosphere on a limited resource called earth. Isn't that good? Because earth is found on limitation. Heaven is found in abundance. When you and I find ourselves in the abundance, the limitation will only freak out. Called, come on. You see, your attention on abundance is required. When you align yourself in the requirement, even though that which you think that you're not eligible to receive, that is your requirement. No, you didn't hear that. Your requirement is based on what you say that I am not eligible. That is requirement. When I get to say, I'm not worth to find God, receive this abundance is a requirement to fall into that shower, saying, I want that shower. You see? That is the beauty of God. All right, I'm going to ask Denver to come on up and share a little bit what he has in his heart. And I'll come up in a minute.
Okay. Ravi's a special guy. And I really, really appreciate these opportunities to grow. but God has, we are going to hear from Ravi. But I do have something on my heart. And, maybe I was thinking it was for tonight. Maybe it's for right now. It's, you're going to get whatever it is. But, in my life, I'm not going to go through my whole journey, but when God met me more or less 5 years ago in a supernatural way, He filled me with His Holy Spirit, and since then, my life has been completely changed, to say the least. What God has shown me recently within the Word. When He comes with His Holy Spirit, in the Bible, you'll see that the Holy Spirit comes in different forms. And I want to talk about how how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And it's just such a powerful truth. And we're not going to go through all the incredible ways that God has come, whether it's through fire, whether it's through his breath, whether it's the cloud, whether it's through water. Like, it's such a powerful revelation in the Word of what God wants to do individually through our lives. This morning, though, it is about the dove. And I just want to read John 1:32. It says, and John bore witness, okay? This is John. I mean, it's the beginning of John, but John has baptized Jesus in water. And now John is bearing witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I'll read 33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so this guy, this Jesus, John baptizes in water, and the dove comes, and it says the dove remained on him. And it's such a powerful thing, because I believe 100% the reason that the dove came and was able to remain was just a simple word, and that word is purity. God is seeing our lives. He's watching us constantly. It says in 2 Chronicles that his eyes are looking to and fro. He's looking at our hearts. He's looking at the purity of our character. And I'm going to take you back to Genesis. We're just going to go back to Genesis 6. Jackie, thanks for bringing your Bible. That's good. So Genesis 6, we're going to go to verse 8 and 9 to start with. We'll switch a little bit. So it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is something that, where am I at here? 6, 8, and 9. Yeah. My version, I know it talks about Noah's righteousness. In verse 9, it says that Noah walked with God. Noah knew God. God recognized Noah as a righteous person. And this is something that that our lives are going to reflect, is his righteousness. And Noah had that. It says Noah found favor. And when we go to Genesis 8, and I'm gonna skip. It's going to mainly be 6 to 10. But if we go to chapter 8, verse 6, this is after the earth has been flooded, and so now we're looking to, you know, find dry land. So it says, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven, which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove, to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. And then the dove came to him in the evening. Behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So we see that God remembered Noah. We see that God delivered Noah. In our world today, I just want to make a comparison here. We have good and evil. In this passage, we see the dove. We also see the raven. Who knows that Satan is also going to and fro on the earth? Amen. It says, as the raven went out, he never came back. What happened when the dove went out the first time? That's right. He never found any fertile land. He never found any Jesuses to land on. So what did he do? He came back to the ark. What does the ark represent? What do you recognize the ark being? Yeah, and how about in David's time? Yeah, presence of God. So as the dove goes out, what is the dove looking for? The dove is looking for righteousness. The dove is looking for purity. If it finds no resting place, it goes back to the presence of God. We want to attract the dove in our lives. We want to attract the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's like in David's time, the ark went to Obed-Edom's house. We talk about the presence of God in our homes. You think about having the ark of God in your house. We need to set our lives up like we are continually receiving God's presence in our lives. He will bring favor in that. The Bible talks in John about Jesus is saying that we will do greater things. And we get excited about this because, you know, with Christ in us, these things are truly possible in us. But do we get excited to carry a cross? Do we get excited to do everything that Jesus did? Do we understand the sacrifice that he had to go through to do these incredible things on earth? God is requiring a purity in our lives. He's asking for a sanctification. It says in Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When Jesus was on earth, the reason he did these greater things was because everything that he did was first through the Father. He saw what the Father was doing, and he did it. He was pure in heart, he saw the Father, and he did it. So that is what our cry is in our hearts. God, make me righteous. Father, show me where I need purity in my life, because I want to do these things. I want to attract heaven in my life. The culmination of Matthew 5, after he says all these crazy things, the beatitudes of a life that is almost unattainable, he then says that we're to be perfect because he is perfect. He wouldn't say that if it's not attainable. I'm not saying I'm without sin, but you press in to daily living like, God, I want to be pure before you. God, I want to be perfect before you. I don't want to fall. And God is going to take you to places that you do these greater things. There is freedom in this. What else in our life? Have you ever had a bird on your shoulder?
Yeah.
I got a cocktail. Nice. So let me just take this to another place. This bird on your shoulder, how does a bird do if you're all fidgety? Yeah, or if you're all anxious, or if you're all worried, or maybe you're fearful, you're scared. All these things that a lot of people carry, that we carry at times. If a bird wants to come land on our shoulder, he's not going to stay long if we have all these issues in our lives, if we're a fidgety person, okay? God wants to come and free us. He wants to baptize us like Jesus was. I mean, Jesus was baptized it was prophetic for him. For us, we die like Christ died in the waters. Just like Jesus died, we get to die, we get to rise up. I mean, the Holy Spirit is attracted to freedom. He's attracted to purity in our lives. I mean, we're going over this, I'm sure, for a reason. So the other place I'll take you, I won't be too much longer. We'll just go to John 2. And we're just going to read in verse 13. We'll go down a wee bit. It says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold the doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise.'" says, when his disciples remembered that, it is written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Now, there's a revelation here that I didn't fully get in the time that Ravi asked me up here, so I'm not, you know, it's an amazing thing to me that Jesus would point out the doves. He's considering us selling out his Holy Spirit, us using his Holy Spirit in a way that is detestable to him. Now, you think of your bodies as the temple of God, and you just think about how serious God is. Jesus is the zeal for your house, for your temple, for your body, the zeal that God wants to press into your life, these unwanted identities that were here in this temple, he wants them out of your life. The same Jesus that would have destroyed this temple, that was hating everything that was going on, he hates the unwanted things in our lives. He hates the things that Satan has put in us, that lied in us, that has made our lives something that it's not. Okay? The doves were not supposed to be used. His Holy Spirit is not to be used for anything other than what he would want it to be used for. So, I just, there's such a key in purity, and we were going over it at breakfast this morning, and I really believe that there's an extension of this coming, but I just want to pray for you guys prior to Ravi coming up in a way that we recognize the significance of being free, but recognizing the significance of a purity in our lives that's going to attract heaven, that's going to take us to another level of understanding, that's going to take us to a place that God looks on you and just like Jesus, he's like, you know, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is the person in whom I'm well pleased, like Noah, this is my righteous one. And God wants to take us there, even in this hour. So God, I just thank you for this room right now, Lord. I just thank you for hearts, Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the freedom you bring, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, even in this hour, as people struggle, Lord, as there's anxiety, Lord, that has turned to depression, Father, as there's worry, Lord, as there's fear in lives, Jesus, I just know, Father, that you're capable of taking all that away, Lord God. Lord, you already see us ahead of time, Lord God. We see, we know that you have a destiny for us, Jesus, and a lot of what's in our lives right now is not in that future destiny, Lord God. So we give you our lives again, Jesus, Father God, and would you just put an expectation within our hearts, Lord, just to be free, free of the garbage, Lord, that we would be in a place of rest, Father, that your Holy Spirit, that your dove would look at us and would want to come, would want to remain on us, would want to see us as fertile soil, Lord, would not need to return to your presence, Father, would take presence in our lives, Jesus. So we just pray for this, Father. Pray for freedom in this room. I pray that you open up hearts to hear, Lord God, and ears to hear as well. Jesus, we thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good job, sir. Good job. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? What he shared was introduction to what I'm going to share. He didn't know what he was going to share, but he did it. That's who we are. I'm using this as an illustration today. Why? What my brother shared is a manifestation of what Jesus had to go through when he was baptized and come back again. When he was baptized and come back again, there was something called, there was heaven declaring upon him, saying, this is my beloved son. Why?
there was a sacrifice that Jesus did to show us that we got to do the same thing that Jesus went through the water. When there is no sacrifice, there is no reward. My God is all about a reward. Law was created for us, yes, to align myself to a God's agenda to only receive a reward. A reward was set on a law. But when the law was not able to achieve by me, he looked at the law and said, I'm going to show my son, which I'm going to declare my son through the Holy Spirit that is going to rest upon him so that he doesn't have to stay in the law. He would only stay in the celebration mode where Holy Spirit comes upon him. You see the difference? Yes, there is a need of a sacrifice. Yes, there is a need of sacrifice where you demand something that God has for you. There needs to be a reward because there is a sacrifice. But in the New Testament, there is a new atmosphere called celebration. When you celebrate the reward, the reward that you want is seen in your naked eyes. Did you get that? When you fall into a system called, I have to do this to make this happen, you see the reward unattainable. Am I speaking Proverbs? You see, when you find yourself in the law, when you find yourself that I need to do these things to make things practical, you would see things that you want unreachable. Because you saying that I need to do these things to make that happen. But when you find yourself in the celebration saying, you know what? Yes, there is a reward, but I'm going to celebrate where I am today. I'm going to celebrate the circumstances that I am. I'm going to celebrate who's connected to me in this place. I will only see the circumstances bringing the reward to me. See, that is the beauty of the Holy Spirit resting upon Jesus. When he walked on the streets, everything celebrated. Who? The King of Kings walking on the road. Disease celebrated on freedom. Depression celebrated on freedom. Anxiety celebrated on excitement. Because when Jesus walked in purity, which sustained him on someone who is holding on himself, that is, Holy Spirit is holding on, Holy Spirit is on him. But now the Holy Spirit is on him, Jesus is celebrating. But when the appearance of the Holy Spirit is not there, the appearance of the other presence is there, called oppression. You see, the same situation happened in Joshua chapter 5. In Joshua, I'm going to talk about the story I'll call in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, where it talks about Joshua. I'm going to try talking in a simple language here. Joshua was getting ready for a battle. He was getting ready for a battle that he was never, never thought he would find a battle for himself. Moses was coming to an end place where he was finishing his season, and Moses transferred his authority to Joshua, and now Joshua is in a new place called expectation. Everybody say expectation. When you find yourself in the expectation, you only find yourself in the stress. Did you get that? When you find yourself in the stress, you make everybody stressful also. But the difference between Joshua and Moses was constantly on stress because he wanted to see the old things happen in new things. Did you get that? Moses wanted to see the old things in a new season. Moses didn't know that God is always about new things every day. Isn't that true? My God is new every single day. We forget that my Jesus is new every single day, but I want to bring old things in a new day. Why? That's how I am wired in this brain. The brain only knows what happened yesterday and make the yesterday reality for today's answer. Joshua was ready to fight. But when Moses revealed, Moses gave away his fight to Joshua, Joshua had an expectation to find himself to do things that Moses could do. In other words, Joshua was ready to find new things in a new place. He was not at the stress, but he was ready to fight in a new season to bring new things to Israel, who he was committed to. See, we are all the leaders here today. How many of you are leaders here today? All of you. Anyone who has led to be a father is a leader. Anyone who is leading a friend is a leader. Anyone who has become a sikiri, is it okay? I mean, I speak this and I say which church I am in right now. I spoke that tongues in one of the churches, which is not, it's just a huge thing. In a non-Baptist church or Baptist church, they didn't know what I was speaking, but I said, do you know what I spoke? They thought that I spoke in my language, which was a good thing. They didn't see that, but it was a safeguard for me because I was different skin. So here's what Joshua did. When Joshua, the difference between Joshua and Moses looked for familiarity. The reason he missed out a new land because he was constantly looking for familiarity to find an answer. In the familiarity, you will only find more frustrations because familiarity does not give you answers. Familiarity only gives you what shouldn't have happened yesterday and gives you rules and regulations for today. I hope you got this. Because every Christian is found himself in a new season because he is responsible to dominate new things to the old problem. That is your responsibility and my responsibility to find new things in a new space. running around the old mountain will get you to old mountain only. Why? Sometimes we like to run around old mountains because we are safeguard on the old mountain. You see, in England, I was preaching in England, I found out this cab drivers. If you want to be a cab driver in England, you cannot depend on GPS. A cab driver needs to memorize the whole city in his head. I like that. Because when GPS dies, this shouldn't die. You see, all that I'm trying to say, here's the point of the Lord. It does not matter what the external level that you see is, even though the external level expires, this should not expire. This does not expire unless there is something on your shoulder called Holy Spirit. That is the major difference between Joshua and Moses. And Joshua was constantly finding new ways to attract God, to bring God into new place. And God was so fascinated by Joshua. Whenever he gave a new assignment, that daddy did everything new for Joshua. Because God said, all right, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. What I want you to do is run around Canaan 7 times. He never did that to Moses. But when he did for Moses, Moses grumbled against God. He said, God, take me away. You're giving me new task for a new season. I hate new task. I hate new things. I hate new responsibilities. I love to take the trash out on Mondays only. I don't like to take the trash on Tuesdays. I don't like Kurana Sikirine. I like to have this on a certain time. Coffee needs to be in white cup only. I cannot change the coffee cup to black coffee. Come on. You see, whether you like it or not, my God will put you on a new spot to challenge you to bring a new factor called Holy Spirit on you. Why? We are the sons and daughters of the kingdom. Kingdom is defined by new wisdom, not old knowledge. Ah, come on. I liked your clappings. Thank you. I'm going to do this tonight. If they're not clapping tonight, I'm going to make them clap. You see, here's the fun part of God. The Holy Spirit always rests upon my invitation of, Daddy, show me new things. I'm ready for the adventure. My dad is never about old ways to do old things in an old fashion. And never, he's always about new things. Why? Because he's new every single day, who sustains by the love of God. Why? Here's the good thing about our God. When you're not available to do new things, why would you bring a new God in an old fashion? No, he's not going to do new things in the old ways. When you want to buy a house which is broken down, you don't want to build that old house in an old way. I would rather put golden, diamond, and I love my friend's house there. It was 1960s, right? 1960 house. You can only see the structure of 1960, but you walk inside, you'll see 2017. You will see the marbles are the floor shining like diamonds on that floor. 1960 wouldn't shine like that. I could squeeze myself. Why? Because it's new. Even though structure is old, something inside is so new. You see, the old Jesus is good, but you walk inside, you'll only find new things about Jesus. You see, when you find new things, when you find yourself in Jesus, you know He's taking you to new places. I love that Jesus. I love my God. One day, I love stories, but I was not planning on sharing a story, but I will share a story. Is that all right? Amen, man. Dude, I'm going to take you to India. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to pack you up. That's right. You know, one day I was traveling in a train. I've told this many times. I'm sure YouTube, you would know this. But I'll share this story once again, quickly. But I'll share a different story. I was in India, and the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Ravi, tomorrow afternoon I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to this place to rescue this. I have an assignment for you." And I'll make the story short. It's never a short. I go to this place the next day at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I go to this place in my city, and I see that place and say, and looked at the city and looked at that place and said, it is a prostitution place. And I look at the prostitution place and I said, "Daddy, you want me to rescue who?" And this girl called Mary was stuck inside, who was supposed to be rescued from. And here I am outside, seeing that prostitution place where this pimps are not small people like my brother. Those guys are about 20 to 30 people, huge guys, double than me. Let's say that. Little more than me. Here they're huge. They're muscly. They're protecting, or they're wanting money out of the girls that's who are inside. And here I am watching this atmosphere of prostitution, and here I am watching God telling me to go inside. And I said, there is no comparison for me to go inside. What did I do yesterday that I could not do? What did I say yesterday? Because when I said yesterday something, I was killed. I'm going to be killed again. See, when you find yourself in the new place, you will only see old people most of the time. When you find yourself in a new place, you won't be shocked because you'll only find old people. Because old people love to tell you what you need to do and you should not do that you did before. Yeah, good job. I'm going to explain this again. When you are at the new place, when you find yourself in a new place, you'll only find old people to tell you what to do. Did you get that now? I'm sorry to make this complicated. I'm trying my best to make not making complicated, because I did not sleep all night to preach today. You know why? All night experience with God is a revelation to you. Good job, man. I love you. In other words, when I went there and I looked at the old people who were so big, all I saw, my old brain talk about this old people. You're not going to do it. You cannot do it. Daddy only said that you need to rescue. He didn't give you blueprint. He didn't give you nothing. You see, whenever God tells you something, He'll always tell you about the bigger picture and the beginning picture. I hate that process of beginning and the end. What about the middle part? New is good. Where are the details of that needs to be done? You see, the problem with that is my entry into new things is exposure of new abilities that you never thought you could get. The fear of new things makes you see yourself not capable, because new things always challenges you to not to get that new things, because old things will tell you not to take it. And I looked at the situation, I said, Daddy, how am I going to do this? Pin drop silence. And I go inside, and I looked at this pimp and said, hey, is there a girl called Mary here? And he looked at me and he says, how do you know there's a Mary here? And he said, he was so busy. It doesn't matter. It's about 5,000 rupees. That's about $100. You want her? She's at the something room, this and this. And I said, okay. Can I see? I don't have any money, you know. God says, don't take any money in your pockets. Remember that? Yeah, when you go out to share the gospel, don't take any money in your pockets, right? So he doesn't give me any pocket money, and then I go there, and I said, at least can I go see her? He said, yes, you can go see her. As soon as I saw her, to make the story short, I opened up, and this girl sitting at the corner of this room, weeping, and she just watches me, and he says, do not touch me, sir. I am not a prostitute. I was being robbed. I was being abducted. I was being taken away by my brother-in-law who sold me into this place. I am from all the way from Madhya Pradesh. I did not come for this. My name is Mary. And here I am. And I'm said, because in India, they don't understand the concept called pastor. They understand the concept called church father. And I looked at her and said, Mary, this is a church father. I am a church father. I'm here to take you. As soon as I said church father, this little girl, about 18 to 15 years old, ran to me, just hugged me, and says, Father, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I don't want to be here. Let's go. Let's go. Here's the point. She wants to go, but I don't know how to take her. Because all these 30 people are outside. If they know that I'm here to take her, they will take me first. And all of a sudden, all I did was, you know what? It's a closed door. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, Mary. Let's see what's going to happen. I opened the door of that room. As soon as I opened the door, here are my people, my friends show up at the door. Inside this huge castle, they just stood. I mean, my friend stands opposite to me and says, Ravi, what are you doing here? And I looked at him, what are you doing here? this guy is like, we saw you walking in. We knew you were up for something, strange things. Because he was a drug lord. He is a fighter. I was a hitman before I got saved. So my hitman people showed up. This guy calls all my hitman people and said, Ravi is on circus. Let's help him out. He uses the word circus. Circus means Ravi's on adventure. We got to help him out. And all of a sudden, not only Satish showed up, his name is Satish, and all of my friends, his friends show up to protect me. They think they're protecting me, but God protecting this through this donkey, through these people who showed up for a reason. You see, in other words, what is happening here is I'm walking royally out, But before, I was not walking royally. I was walking in fearful. But when I finished my work, I'm walking royally with a person, God assigned person, who should I deliver? And the deliver happened royally. Here's the point. Here's the point of the story. When I allow myself in the newness, forget about old people. Find yourself to give them revelation. Not experiences of the old. Bible says, in 2 Corinthians, it says, strongholds is nothing but arguments. When you find yourself in argument, you're finding yourself with more arguments. Bible says, bring the down and let yourself in the place called I want it. Why? When you are in the presence of God, it tells you what the need is. Get the point? When you are in the presence of God, it tells you what the need is. When you recognize what the need is, reply to it. Immediately say yes to it. Way before the old people come down to tell you what to do. Call your brain. You see, that is the beauty of Joshua. All that Joshua did was ready to find new way in a new place. He ran around seven times. He thought, okay, seven times is good. First day he walked seven times. All right, Daddy, I'm going to walk seven times. The next day he said, all right, these 7 days, you need to walk seven times. Then he walked second day seven times. And third day he walked seven times. Fourth day he walked seven times. Fifth day he walked seven times. Sixth day he walked seven times. He woke up on the seventh day. He was getting ready. All right, I'm going to do the same thing as of yesterday. I'm going to do the same thing as yesterday. I'm going to walk seven times, seventh time. And God stops him and says, no, today's new day. Walk seven times, seven times. He looked at God and said, I thought you want me to do the same thing of yesterday. But he says, no, I want you to do it differently today. You're walking seven times on the seventh day. When you face yourself in an old challenge, find a new way to answer for an old challenge. In other words, all that Joshua did was ready for a new challenge and accepted new challenge in a new way. Second thing I want to talk about very quickly is when he saw the angel, the second thing that he saw, the first thing that he saw an angel. As soon as he saw an angel, he said, angel, he could not recognize the angel as an angel. Because whenever you are in the battle, you misplace God from your stress. When you are in the stress, you're misplacing God. Stress is created by the enemy for us to not to find God. Ooh. Did you get that? Stress was introduced by the enemy for us to not find God. This Joshua was so stressful, he wanted to make expectations. He had so much of expectation, and he didn't know what to do. All he did was, all right, in that expectation, he saw the God who stood before him. He did not recognize that God. He saw that God as a man. Why? He was filled with stress. And he looked at that God and said, are you with us? Are you with the adversaries? Are you for me? Are you for the wife? No, you didn't get it. Are you with me? Are you with my wife? We're about to argue. We're about to start the journey called argument. Are you going to be with me? Are you going to be with my wife? Are you going to be with me? Are you going to be with my employee? Are you going to be democratic? Are you going to be... Huh? Republican? Are you going to be the side of this person or that person? Whose side are you going to be? Whose side are you going to choose? And God said, neither one. In other words, Joshua was finding his agenda, trying to bring God into his agenda. Deke up? I mean, sorry, it's my language. See, in English, when I speak in English, I have to translate everything in my language and speak to English. It takes effort. So, when I talk, excuse me, give me grace, a little bit of grace. In other words, Joshua could not recognize God. And when he could not recognize God, he only wanted that person to take sides. He wanted God to take sides. You see, when you are around stress, you only want to space yourself on something that you did before, which was the right thing to do. In other words, Joshua was scared of being lost again. That's called fear of losing. Fear of losing. Fear of losing such a dramatic poison which takes your excitement away, takes the passion away. When God desires for me to rest upon the passion, not on fear of losing. When you find yourself in fear of losing, you find yourself insignificant. Did you say that? Yeah. But when you find yourself in the presence which declares celebration, all you get to do is finding God to be saying, Daddy, I am absolutely stressless. I am, when I find myself in the stressless, you declaring stressless to positioning yourself what he wants you to do. All you get to do is, Daddy, what do you want me to talk to you? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to my wife? How do you want me to respond to my opponent? How do you want me to respond to this new challenge? How do you want me to respond to this, to the pastor? How do you want me to respond to my colleague? How do you respond to my sister? Because I want to respond from the old scepter where it's what he hurt me, he killed me, he destroyed me, he put me in the pit, they did everything that they shouldn't have done. I am here today because they destroyed me, because all he's saying is I want to blame them so that I don't want to get healed. Healing does not come from a blame. But healing comes from sacrificing the blame. He looked and he said, take the place, either this person or that person. God said, no, I want your place with me. Sacrifice you now. Sacrifice you. When you sacrifice you, I'm giving me to you. Did you get that? When you sacrifice you, I'm giving me to you, called reward. Because when you find yourself in the marriage, who is greater, you'll only just see yourself, try to mount yourself to be greater than this person. But when you find yourself in Jesus, you see Jesus ruling this conversation. Because you find yourself in the patience called power of God, where you see bubbles or butterflies flowing out. Oh, she's so cute. You see? When you want to take sides, you'll only find more more adversaries and bullets to find her in that place of akura nasikirene. But God, when you find yourself in God and take the side of God, you'll only find wisdom. You'll only find revelation. You'll only find not sleep at 11 o'clock where your wife doesn't want to sleep. No, you didn't get it. Pass on. In other words, you admiring your relationship with Jesus. The more you admire your relationship with Jesus, you're admiring the presence of God coming upon you. You see, Jesus is real today. I promise you. He is stinking real. He is a real God. I've never seen a God so real in my life. I've tested every other gods before I came to know Jesus. I tested every single god called Jainism, Buddhism, Hinduism, every other major god, told them to see me, show me yourself, because I want to worship not something that I want to see. I want to worship a God who can talk to me. And he did it. He did it. He's still doing it. Why? He saw newness in me, that because in me, I say I am ready for you to do anything that you want, because I love revelation. Jesus is waiting for a revolutionist who's ready to give revelation to our unheard revolutionist people. You see, we as sons of God are designed to be the revolutionist. Yes, for all your life. All right. I like that. Today is your day today. To see a change in your business. To change in your marriage. To see a change in your physical body. To see a change in your church. A church cannot sustain with one service. It has to have at least 11 services. Revelation gets you. Fear demands freedom today. Fear demands today. Last thing, but not the least, when you find yourself in a stressful place, know that place belongs to honoring God. When Joshua looked at God, the angel said, as soon as God the Father, the angel looked at him and said, "I am neither one." And Joshua recognized who this guy is, immediately fell on his knees, and he said, "What should I do now?" Isn't that funny? When we find a solution, we are getting ready to say, "What should I do? Let's go." But what did Daddy say? Remove your shoes. Your stressful place is the holy ground. Your stressful place is a holy ground. Your competition place is a holy ground. When you recognize your struggles is a holy ground, come on, the dove will never leave you nor forsake you. This dove is a special dove. It does not worry about my freaking out. It comes on me because I'm freaking out. You see the difference? Anxiety is what makes me freak out. Holy Spirit stops the freaking out. That is the responsibility of this freaking out Holy Spirit on me. Holy Spirit comes to rest me. That's not freak out with a freaking out guy. Come on. Come on. You see, when you know there is trouble in the house, when you know there is trouble in the government, when you know there's a trouble in your house, in your businesses, in your life, in your everything that is trying to subdue you, allure you to bring old things into a new season, know that that place belongs to God, and that place belongs to be purest form. Why? Purity is God's way. When you find yourself in purity, purity of God is resting upon you to find new things to help you to do greater things than you ever did before. You see, being in the presence and recognizing and you declaring that stressful place as a church, you're mounting into another different mountain to shake that mountain. Why? Old mountain does not shake. Go to a new mountain, shake the new mountain. You see? That's the difference. When you know somebody is not shaking, go to somebody who can be shaken. Get excited there. Why? Because the new mountain, when the new mountain shakes, the new mountain falls on the old mountain. Obviously, the old mountain is also destroyed. No, you didn't get it. When you're able to shake the new mountain, you're also shaking the mountain behind it. It's called old mountain. You see, that's the beauty today. Guys, who desires to find new things in your new seasons? Who is it? If I were you, I would be standing up. You see, tonight we're going to talk about healing. I'm excited to see what's going to happen tonight. It's funny the way how God works in our lives. Because the Lord spoke to me about this place, tonight's place, 1.5 years ago. Can you imagine that? Daddy talked to me about you. 1.5 years. How do you say year? Ek saal se, forgot the language. Ek saal ke pehle, he spoke. Your son, what's your name, sir?
Yes.
Riel. That's a good name, Riel. Did you know that? Rahil. Rahil. You know what Rahil means? Warrior. You're a good man, Rahil. The problem with that goodness is you're trying to find old things to answer for your new things. Get the point? You are an amazing articulator. You think nobody understands you. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. But everybody will understand you from today. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Nobody understands me. Nobody understands me. Who is that? Who is that? If it's you, could you step up? Could you step up? Come on up. Nobody understands me. I don't know why. My sister doesn't understand me. My father doesn't understand me. Somebody is not understanding me. I want to be understood today. Could you face me, please? Is anybody else today? The reason I'm using this as altar call, because God is about to start a revolution in this church. God is about to start a movement in your life. Confusion cannot stay in your life. confusion cannot reside on your circumstances. If it's you, I want you to walk up. Why am I using this walk up? You're telling yourself to a chair which made you feel comfortable, called old life, old way to answer. I am taking away the old way of my things to find myself in a new place. Can we do this now? If it's you, step up. Step up. It's okay for you to step up. We are here not to see guilt falling on us. We are here to see freedom showing up on our life. Freedom is about to take over this home. And it's okay. It's okay to step up. We are all a family here today. Amen? We know each other. We celebrate each other. We're not demanding declaration of the old. We're demanding newness of God. Could you guys come up and pray for people? You ready? Guys, we are about to pray for people. We are about to pray for people. We are about to pray for you. You're not who are standing here, you're not forgotten. You're here for a reason. Your feet that is standing is hungry for something. Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are you hungry on your feet?
Yes.
What are you hungry for?
Newness.
Good job. Come on. Did you hear
Newness.
That? Did you hear that? If I were you, sir, I would be on my knees. Come on. Come on. Clarity demands submission. Ooh. Who wants that? Mm. Who wants that? Clarity. 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 If you want clarity, let's do something that you never did before. Called submitting myself. Because you are a businessman. Yeah. Did you know that? No. You're an amazing businessman. You're going to take this world upside down. What's your name?
Tegan.
What's your name, sir? This is... Come on. That's your friend. Check out. How old are you, Tegan?
16.
Come on. You know you're going to shake the world so much so that this business idea that you're going to start is rock the world?
Hallelujah.
I'll give you an example. Look at what WhatsApp did. Find out what they did that they did not do that you will start.
Whoa, yeah.
In 1 year's time, you'll find a way. Why? You're bringing Christians together to worship and say, age does not matter. Hungerness matters. Clarity. Daddy, I come before you. I come before you because you're worthy to come before you. Shall we play something today? Because you are an awesome God, Nana. You're an awesome God, Daddy. You're nothing but awesome. As my friends come and just lay their hands, here's what's happening as you close your eyes. We're going to have baptismal service tonight. I don't know. Yeah, good. We're going to have some baptismal service tonight. Tonight is going to be awesome night. If you have a chance to come, join us. We're going to celebrate. Isn't that right? We're going to celebrate tonight. Because it's not because healings are going to happen, because Holy Spirit is going to visit us. Is He visiting now? Yes. He's visiting us to find revolutionists. People are going to come to you, lay their hands. The one who is in the front, the one who are standing, you're not excluded. If you are not excluded. You know what? We are in the holiest presence of God. When you know there is holiness here, you run. Yes? Come on up. Come on up. I want to pray for you. Come on up. Come on up. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for you guys. Let's come front. You know why? There is something here that God says, come. I have prepared a table for you. I prepared a table for you. Only to show my goodness called favors. No one is excluded today. No one is excluded today. Come on. Come on. Let's close your eyes. Let's close your eyes. Let's be in this reverential place called holiness. Daddy, I want that purity to strike me. I want that purity to strike me. And my sisters and brothers are going to come lay their hands on you. As they lay their hands, know that something is coming upon you. New Testament is about laying hands. It's not that we don't have what we have. We have supernatural things. No. We are saying we celebrate you. We touching you. We laying our hands. We're celebrating you. Come on. We're declaring you to the heavens atmosphere. Holy. Come on. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Dana. We come before you now. We come before you. We are celebrating you on your sons and daughters here today. We're celebrating you as my sons and as my sisters and brothers are going laying their hands. I declare heaven upon them, Jesus. That this church would find favors. 11 services would happen in this church. Declare your position, Nana. Declare your position. Declare your position. Declare your position. Declare your position. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeshukura na 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 ne 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 ne. Shukura na 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 na. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Brandon. Come on up. Come on up. Let's pray together. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's good. It's good. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want you to go into Jesus, Jesus.
Thank you. feel.